Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Andrew Hopper, whose book I have in my hand. And his book is wonderfully titled, very simply, Chosen. And in this book, he discusses a subject that those of you who know me know is very important to me. And those of you who know God should know it's very important to him. And that subject is adoption. So, Andrew, we appreciate your coming on the broadcast. And appreciate your writing this book. Tell us what motivated you to write this.
Yeah, so, man, the idea of Christian adoption is such a heart, it's just kind of such a heart-level passion for my wife and I, even from before we were married. Mm-hmm. You know, neither one of our families were adoptive families, but we just had a real passion for this through... We've done a lot of mission work and things like that when we were in college and through high school. And man, we just caught a vision for it even before we came together. So it's a very heart level kind of thing for me. And it's played out to be a very strong component of our ministry in the local church. Mm-hmm. So our church here in Greensboro, North Carolina has a really big focus on adoption and foster care ministry. And yeah, so when I was approached, kind of a new writer acquisition kind of idea, I said, man, I've got this idea, and I know it's not, you know, for the masses in terms of, you know, it's kind of a niche topic, but I think every Christian can glean from the idea of their having been adopted and what that pushes them to in terms of orphan care and that kind of thing. So yeah, that was sort of the origins of why we ended up writing about it. Now, I am an adoptive father. And so, you know, it makes it a little easier when you kind of have a lot of firsthand examples. The book is not a memoir of our adoption, although it contains a chapter in it about our history. But there's so many anecdotes and things that you learn along the way being an adoptive father that I think kind of pushed us towards writing this book.
Well, share with us a little bit of your story and how you ended up adopting and how that's working out.
Yeah, so we joke, we say we have three children from biology and one child from theology. They're all from theology, but you know, you understand what I mean. So we have three children that we had just naturally, and then we knew we wanted to adopt. And so when it came time to think about growing our family again in 2015-16, we decided we were going to go the adoption route. We ended up adopting locally from our home state, and it ended up being a special needs adoption. We did not intend for that to happen, but it was in the Lord's plans and guidance. And we got the call from our adoption agency that our profile had been chosen by a mom, and that there was a 99% chance that she would have Down syndrome. We did not know a lot about Downs. You know, I've met people with Down syndrome, and I've known some people with Down syndrome, and I did not really understand that Down syndrome can be such a spectrum of how it can present. So a lot of times the people that we meet in the community with Downs are incredibly high functioning. You know, that's sort of why you meet them. You know, that's why that's why they're driving a car. So we didn't know a lot of those things, but in God's providence, my father was a blue collar guy my whole life, swinging a hammer and driving trucks. And then when I was in college, he actually went back and got a degree and works with special needs kids as a teacher. So God was moving way before Faith Ann came into our family. So through conversations with him and prayer, you know, we committed to, we're going to go through with this. And yeah, Faith Ann was born and came into our life with a lot of challenges, be honest with you, you know, right from the jump. She was probably 60 days in the ICU, and in two different locations. One of them was an hour and a half from our house. So
Wow.
my wife was homeschooling our kids, so she'd spend half the day with us and then drive there, spend the night with Faith Ann, and then come back and spend, half the day with, I mean, it was just kind of
Yeah.
a lot. And but man, she's a huge, huge blessing. She's nine. We've seen God miraculously heal her heart
Praise
from
God.
having to have heart surgery, but she did have to have a neck fusion this past year, and that was very difficult. But man,
Yeah.
every time we face a challenge with her, we find God to be a firm foundation, and it just reminds us of what God went through to bring us into his family.
Amen. Amen. My wife and I have three biological children. The oldest one was born with special needs. And I remember the folks at Children's Hospital in Boston, the genetic counselors telling us, your chance of having a child with this difficulty is part of the population at large, one in 500. Now that you've had a child with spina bifida and hydrocephalus, you need to know that the odds change. And now it's, I think it was one in 23 or something, which is quite a change from one in 500. And so they were, of course, encouraging us not to have more children biologically. And if you are, be sure to screen them before they're born because we can terminate the pregnancy. And of course, we explained to them that we don't believe in killing children and that we believe God is the one who forms our children in the womb. Well, growing up in our home, all three of our kids knew that they were well loved, including our oldest boy, who at this stage in life now is about to turn 48, and because of health issues, had to move back home after being out of the house for a long time. But when all three of them had gone out on their own, and the youngest was in college, God put it on our hearts that he had some more kids for us, and three kids in particular from an orphanage in Ukraine. And while we were in the process of adopting them, God showed us that we needed to adopt one of the kids who was living here at our children's home, whose mother had been a single parent, died of cancer, and he was wanting to be adopted into our family too. So we ended up with three biological kids and four adopted kids. And it's been quite a journey. But let me tell you know this. God puts families together. God is the author of birth and adoption. And so your book, you can imagine how that resonates with me, because here's somebody who isn't just seeing this on the basis of statistics or emotion, but seeing this on the basis of what God says in his word. And I appreciate very much the fact that your book, Chosen, is very down to earth, very straightforward, but it is saturated with a biblical mindset. And so I'm happy to join others, including my friend Bryant Wright or Clayton King, in saying, this is a good book. And folks ought to get this. Now,
Well, thank you for that, man.
you bet. You talk about in this book encouraging all Christian families to consider the possibility of adoption, that that might be something God is calling them to. But you also make it clear that you know that not everybody is supposed to adopt. So talk with us a little bit about that. How should a family seek to discern whether God is calling them to adopt or whether he's calling them to hold the rope for others?
Yeah, so the way we think about it in our church is very similar to the calling to the mission field. We say, hey, not everybody is called to go to the mission field, but probably if we just take the Bible at face value and understand God's heart for the nations, then probably a lot more people should be going than are. That doesn't mean everybody. And we all, even we say more people should, we know it's going to be a minority. But it just feels like the weight of the scripture, God being a missionary God, Matthew 28, Acts 1:8, Revelation 5 and 7, understanding that that multitude of people in the end from all peoples and every tribe and tongue, like it feels like we should ask the question, not should I go, but why should I not go? Mm-hmm. And there are valid reasons for that. You know, there's wiring. There's, man, I can make a bigger impact at home. I mean, that's my, you know, what our family, we want to keep our yes on the table for the mission field, even, but I feel like I'm making a bigger impact being a sender rather than a goer. Okay. I think it's not a missions book, but that concept of trying to shift from why should I to why shouldn't I, is sort of what we're trying to help rattle the cage in the Christian church when it comes to the issue of not just adoption, but adoption and foster care, and holding the rope to say, but, you know, specifically with adoption, I would love to see our people think about the holistic nature of adoption in Scripture. You know, you think about just stories that we have. You think about David and Mephibosheth. You know, just this idea of bringing someone that is really not even just an orphan, but an enemy, and bringing them to the table. We think about the grand metaphor of adoption. You know, in the New Testament, there are two great familial metaphors for what God has done in our life. One, of course, is marriage. Mm-hmm. But the second great one is adoption. When you think about, you know, 1 John, where God has lavished upon us his love that we would be called his children.
Yes.
You think about Romans 8, Galatians 4, the spirit of adoption. If believers, and then you think about the need. You think about James, you think about James saying, hey, this is pure religion. It's like, if we just take the weight of the Bible and we think, what is God's heart for the vulnerable and his heart for those who have no family? Certainly, yes, we as believers should agree. And I know not everybody does, but we, in my opinion, biblically, we should agree, and we have for 2,000 years, this is the testimony of the church, that what God has done in our life should be fleshed out in what we do for others. Mm-hmm. And God adopted us into his family. We should be thinking about adopting others into ours. Let's build our families the way God builds his. And again, not everybody's going to do that. I would say the vast majority, maybe not. Why? Maybe there's a wiring thing, a financial thing. You know, maybe they got people around them that are like, hey, you guys are living at the limit right now. I don't think this is wise. Like, there's a lot of reasons why you may not, but let's not start there.
Yes.
Let's start with, especially with our young families. Mm-hmm. We just had a milestone in our church last year. In 2020, we set up sort of a goal to see 200 adoptive or foster families raised up in our church by 2025.
Wow.
And the 200th family that stepped forward were college kids in our Summer City project in 2017. And then they got you know, bathed in mission and gospel. They ended up getting married. And then years later, their first child after being married came through adoption in 2025, and they were the 200th family. And it's like, man, they're young families, and getting them to think about, you know, how would you maybe think about building your family? We praise God for biological kids. I mean, it is just an inheritance and a blessing. And I pray for the blessing of Jacob, which is, mm-hmm, in some sense, you know, a family and a legacy and all of that. But that's not to say that, you know, the way God builds his family is through the spirit of adoption. And I think that should inform the way we think about it.
Yeah. And it's not either or, it's both and.
Right.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Again, folks, the book is Chosen, and we're talking with the author, Andrew Hopper. I have dealt with the pain of families that have adopted and discovered that it was much more costly than they had really realized. And I'm not talking finances, though that's also costly, but talking about the investment and the heartbreak that often comes. And one of the things that I have shared with those families is not only that I know that to be an extreme cost, but that many of the heartbreaks and disappointments are not that dissimilar from families who only have biological children. Mm-hmm. You know, because somehow there's this perspective.
That's a good point.
You know, we think, well, oh, I'm having all these heartbreaks because we adopted this kid. And man, genetics definitely have an impact on how we're wired. But I know families that have not adopted any kids. They've had their own biological children, and they've had the same kinds of problems. If we only love our kids based on performance and meeting expectations and so forth, we are not loving the way that God loves.
Right.
So one of the things that adoption does is thrust us back on God and reliance on Him. Yeah. And that's one of the great gifts that adoption brings.
Yeah.
I am so grateful for each of the children that we had biologically and for each of the children that we adopted, because every single one of those kids was placed in our family through the providence of God. And we are grateful. Now, you talk about this business of holding the rope, that those who are not called specifically by God to adopt are still supposed to be a part of this process. Just like if you don't go to the foreign mission field, you can't just say, well, foreign missions is off my plate. I don't have any responsibility there. Right. All of us have a responsibility there. Talk with us about some ways that individuals, families, churches can be involved in supporting those who do foster care or who do adopt.
Yeah, so the premise is adoption and foster care is not only entering into spiritual battle, but it's entering into the fiercest part, the hottest part of the battle. If you put yourselves in the shoes of the enemy, you know, there's probably very few things that the enemy hates more than Christian adoption. And I would argue that the reason for that is because most people in life, they come to the king's table through their kitchen table. Mm-hmm. You know, they're discipled at home. Now, that's not everybody. There's a lot of, and we're after people at Mercy Hill all the time. We got people on the college campus. They're going to be having a service tonight of 500 or 700 college students, open air on the campus. A lot of those kids do not come from believing homes, and we're all about that. But statistically, mm-hmm. most people are going to come because they're in this heritage and this lineage of the faith, and they were taught some things at their kitchen table that bring them to the king's table. And you know, if I'm the enemy, if I've already disrupted that home environment, and I understand what all types of chaos comes in people's lives through fatherlessness and through all of the family breakdown, then seeing one of those children put back into a stable, Christian, gospel-centered home, mm-hmm. I would fight like tooth and nail to keep that from happening. And I would put big bullseyes on those types of families. And we see that.
Amen.
And so if we see that the spiritual fight, you know, the way I say it is like, man, you signed up for adoption, the enemy is going to bring his war machine. And that's not a reason not to do it. It's a Amen. Reason to be reminded about it.
Yeah.
You know, we know this, we need to prepare. Part of that preparation is not going into the battle alone. And that's where so that's a little bit of foundation of Rope Holders. The Rope Holder ministry at its most simplest form is just saying, hey, we want to make sure there are people in the church who know who the adoptive and foster families are and who have said, man, that one, those, I'm going to do what I can to look out for them.
Praise God.
There's a lot of different ways they can do that, you know, and I talk about a bunch of different ways in the book, but, you know, they kind of boil down to just a few. I mean, so we have resource rope holders, which are people who give to mm-hmm. fund adoptions. We have relationship kind of rope holders that are like, man, we want to step in and be the way I view that one is a lot of our foster and adoptive families. We live in a decently transient area. Not everybody. There are a lot of people that are from here, but you know, a lot of people that come to a church like Mercy Hill, they're not from here. They're moving in from jobs and they're coming from a different state or whatever. And, you know, we need to put people in their life that can kind of mimic what it means to have the support system of an extended family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in an extended family, hey, we have to go to this court date for this foster kid, and that's fine because our other two bio kids, they end up going over to aunt's house or they go to a cousin's house or whatever. Well, when you move in from out of state, you don't have any of those things. We want to try really hard to put people in your life that are willing to say, hey, they can stay with us. We want to help. We want to make sure you guys are set up. And so that's, you know, that's kind of the idea. And then there's some other rope holders that are a little more hands-on. They're not the relationship, but they're like, man, you're going to be out of town for 2 weeks because of this adoption. We're going to make sure your grass is cut. We're going to make sure, you know, you guys have some things in your home that need to be taken care of. And we got some guys that are saying, man, we want to get some community groups over there to help do that. At most basic level, it's just trying to give visibility to say, hey, there's a group in our church, much like those who go to the international mission field. They're going into the hottest part of the battle. They need somebody in their corner. We use a lot that metaphor from, you know, from William Carey and Andrew Fuller. And that's where we get the term from, hold the rope. We say, you know, Carey said, hey, I'll go down into the pit and dangle, you know, meaning I'll go over to the mission field if you'll hold the rope. If you'll support. And that's what Fuller did. Raise money, raise awareness, pray, raise prayer. He supported. And that's what a rope holder is. Hey, they're going down into the pit of adoption, foster care. We're going to support them and make sure they don't fall.
Yeah. I know that here at Ware's Valley Ranch, we have a number of children over the years we've had and still do have children who come from adoption situations that did not work out as planned. And I have seen wonderful answers to prayer as families who adopted and then realized, oh my goodness, I did not realize what we were getting into. We are not equipped to give this child what they need. We still love this child, still want to support this child, care about this child, not kicking them out of the family, but we kind of need some help here. And Ware's Valley Ranch has been able to come alongside and provide often the opportunity for healing and growth and restoration so that those kids were able to appreciate in a new way the love that had been extended to them, the security that was being offered to them. And we've seen some wonderful, wonderful healing of relationships. But I think that's one of the ways that we hold the rope here at the ranch is we're able to say to families, look, this is not a failure. This is a call for help. When your child needed heart surgery, you didn't say, well, okay, we're going to watch some YouTube videos and learn how to do that. You asked some folks who do that sort of thing all the time to help. And, you know, it's very important that families not feel like they shouldn't need help. You know, we've got this. We should be able to do this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Well, yes, you can. But we're not supposed to operate in isolation. We're not supposed to be lone rangers. And I think, you know, what you share in the book about the importance of that support system and other people coming alongside, that's something that my wife and I have seen over and over again, not just in our efforts to help others, but in the way that folks helped us. Our four adopted kids have all had issues. They've all had problems, but they've all turned out well in the long run, in large measure, because we weren't alone in the process. Our biological children and our brothers and sisters in Christ came alongside and helped bring hope and healing and love and acceptance and encouragement and correction to those kids that we adopted. And, you know, all of them, my wife and I just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. It was just over a year ago, but we've still got the photo in the living room of now this, you know, very large family. Right. And, you know, our kids are beautifully open-hearted about wanting to share their lives and their homes with other kids who need a family.
Right.
So it's been a beautiful thing to see. But again, that's one of the things I appreciate about your book. You not only talk about the beauty of and the power of and the biblical mandate of adoption, but you make it very clear that this is spiritual warfare we're walking in, and that in order to be good soldiers, we don't go out there on our own. We're not solitary soldiers. And so, I thank you for that. And I encourage folks to get hold of this book. The book is Chosen by Andrew Hopper. And it's an easy read, and it's a good read. Andrew, as you continue to encourage folks, not just there in your church, but in the larger body of Christ, what are some final words that you would say for our listeners?
Yeah, I would say if I was to boil the book all the way down, I would say it's a primer on proper motivation for adopting children. You know this as well as I do, better than I do, with having four. Cute pictures and sad stories are not good enough reasons to adopt.
Amen.
You know, we need a strong motivation. When it's when you're on the way to the hospital again, mm-hmm. when there's another behavioral problem again that's probably stemming from some side of childhood trauma or whatever it is, all the sad statistics in the world, all the cute pictures in the world, they're not motivating to you at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the greater motivation is for us to really think through, man, what has God done in my life? I was the stranger. I was the orphan. In my sin, I was not in the family of God. I was kicked out of the family of God. I have to be born again. I have to Amen. Be chosen. I have to be adopted to come back in. And Jesus paid that price for us to be able to do that. And what I try to argue in the book is that an overwhelming sense of awe over being called the children of God in Christ is going to push us to have a proper and lasting motivation for the hard work that is adoption and foster care. And so, yeah, if these things are interesting to you, if they are interesting to your church, we tried to write the book in a way where it's very easy for a church to say, hey, we got 10 families, we're going to start a small group and they're going to read this in, you know, 6 weeks. It's very, the chapters are short. I mean, it's kind of a primer. So, if there's any way that we can help, you can also get on the website, andrewphopper.com/chosen, and you can contact us if there's ways that we can help with other additional materials, even for your church.
Super. Andrew, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.